Hello, everyone, and welcome back to That 80s Child, the Generation Y, the podcast that takes you back in time to the days when everything seemed simpler, or maybe just a bit weirder. I'm Gabrielle, your guide to the nostalgia and chaos of growing up between the 80s and 90s. In today's episode, we're diving into the world of plaid skirts, morning prayers, and nuns with rulers. It's all about my time in Catholic school from 1989 to 2001. I'll be rating the best and worst teachers, sharing some cringeworthy and maybe even a few sacrilegious moments that made those years unforgettable. Whether you survived Catholic school yourself or you're just here for the juicy stories, you're in for a ride down memory lane. So grab your rosary beads and buckle up. This is going to be one hell of a trip. When I was making lists of the episodes that I wanted to do, I knew that I wanted to kind of discuss schooling in the 90s. The only issue is that I didn't go to public school, so I know that not everyone's going to relate to some of the things that went on for me, but I'm sure you can still relate to some things. You're still going to have great teachers. You're still going to have horrible teachers. You're still going to have horrible people that you grew up with. Now, this is not going to be another episode like I did with the music and bullies, where I just discussed about me having been heavily bullied majority of my time in school. This is just kind of going into the different things that we did at Catholic school, the uniforms, just the randomness that it was, and some stories on the in-between. So what I'm going to do is I wrote a lot of notes down for this, but a good portion of it was just to kind of like highlight some areas. But like I said, it was I didn't want it to be about bullying mainly because I already did an episode about that. So I wrote down scary teachers. So I went to a Catholic school between 1989 and 2001. So this is kind of going to go over 2 years of the 80s and 90s, but whatever. So 1989, I was in first grade. And then obviously 2001, I graduated senior in high school. And before that, I actually did go to another Catholic school. It was Our Lady of Good Counsel in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. This school that I went to when I came to New Jersey was St. Joseph's Elementary School, and then obviously high school. It was all in the same friggin' building anyway. It is no longer around. I believe they have a St. Joseph Academy because they really, really wanted to save it. Lord knows I don't know why. But that's just my opinion, obviously. So I am going to leave some names out for teachers just because if I have anybody who I did go to school with, and one of them might be a little bit more sensitive to things and, you know, sensitivity, you know. So I don't want to, you know, besmirch their name in any way. However, let me just explain what happened to me and how it affected me. So, yeah. So let's start off with the scary teachers. So whether it be scary teachers or just horrible teachers or just really, you know, I don't know if they just didn't like me for whatever reason or were just horrible in general. So let me just, this is coming from my experience because I could not give you any other body's experience because I am only me. So first and foremost, my third grade teacher was Sister Frances. I believe I mentioned her before. She looked like a linebacker in football. She was very broad shouldered, tall, and just scary. She had messed up teeth, and she would foam at the mouth and spit at you, not on purpose, but it would just because she had so much buildup of spit, and when she was yelling at you, it would just come spraying out at your face, and she'd get really close to you. Now, even though in my intro I said something about rulers, we were kind of beyond that phase of like hitting kids. You know, I was left-handed. I still am left-handed, so they weren't hitting me because I was using the devil's hand. However, my grandfather on my mom, so my mom's father was left-handed, but because of the time frame that he did go to school, they beat it out of him because, you know, you weren't supposed to be left-handed. So his handwriting was very horrible. Like, as far as my mom knew, I never met him. My son's also left-handed, so we have a lot of left-handers within my family. So we're a bunch of, you know, devil worshippers apparently, because we have lots of left-handers. So Sister Frances, so like I said, when she would get angry, she would get very close to your face. And because of that buildup of spit, it would eventually like make its way onto your face as she was spitting, angry spitting at you. A few of the things that, I mean, Okay, so let me just try and think. I wrote down one instance, but I'm actually remembering another one. When we were in school, you had to buy specific composition books, and then they were called loose leaf paper as well. And you had to get them specifically from the school store. And I was and am a procrastinator. So when I realized that I didn't have the loose leaf paper that you could easily like rip out of the thing, because it didn't rip. It was like a part of like that glue thing, and it was just like loose leaf paper. And it was like the specific line size that you needed in third grade. And I ran out of it. So I had to do my homework, but it had to be handed in. So I did it from my composition book, and then I ripped it out of my composition book. So therefore, it had the jagged edges. And because of that, she made an example of me and said that, you know, this is not how you're supposed to be handing in your work. You're lucky I freaking handed it in at all. I hated doing homework. You're lucky I did it at all, okay? Yeah, you can only use this specific paper. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I ran out. I needed to order some, and you can only order it like on Wednesdays. It was like a random day during the week, and I had forgotten. And like I said, I procrastinate till the last minute to tell my mom, because then you have to bring money in to get it and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, this is unacceptable. It's sloppy, blah. I don't even know what the grade, because it's too far back, and that's not something I remembered. I just remember being yelled at because I used the wrong paper. I don't know if they still do this stuff. I think that there is a level of, you know, yelling at a kid for reasons. If you did your homework and it's correct, then just shut up, okay? Now, I understand rules and regulations, but that's just a little too much, I think. But okay, whatever. I survived. I'm going to bitch about it now because I can. I'm an adult sometimes. The other thing was that, because obviously when you go to a Catholic school, you would have uniforms, and we had the lovely plaid skirts, and then you had the gray or khaki pants for the guys, and then we would have pink, and I think they had white blouses as well, and then the sweater, the maroon sweaters that would go over top of them. And then I think also, like, we had the skirts, but then you had like the jumpers as well, which was like the thing that just you had to zip up the back, and it was part like the whole top. I actually preferred those rather than the skirts. But when you were in elementary school up until I think middle school, you had the jumpers, and then it was after, I don't really know. So you had to wear a uniform, obviously. We would do these things called a walkathon. And if you did so many laps, and your parents gave so much money, you would get some perks. And one of those perks was being able to dress down. Now, in the beginning, you were able to dress down in your regular street clothes, as they say. Years later, a couple years later, they changed that to you can wear your gym clothes. So you're technically only allowed to wear another type of uniform on your dress down days later, which I guess it was just to make sure like kids weren't going to be wearing something that was inappropriate. But when you're at that age, you have your parents still kind of dressing you, and like making, you don't really have that too much leeway as to what you're going to be wearing. So anyway, so I got a coupon to be able to dress down. Nowhere on the coupon, and nowhere did I remember anybody saying that you had to request the day, or like ask which day you're allowed to do it. So I came in dressed down, and it was probably one of my new clothes that I had gotten, you know, because I loved when I was younger and I would, you know, wasn't as fat as I am now. When my parents and, you know, family members would get me clothes, I would do a little like, you know, fashion show of the things that I got. So I was like really excited to be able to go in to and not wear the stupid uniform and be comfortable. So as I come in, and she sees me, and I hand her the coupon, and she's like, this is not how this works. You're supposed to, you know, like schedule it. And then of course yelling at me in front of the whole class. Now, I was a pretty timid person as a child, and very shy. And anytime I was like pointed out, I would get extremely, extremely anxious, and like I would be mortified, you know, and then I would probably cry in the corner. So the whole entire day that I was super excited to come in with my own clothes was made miserable because this bitch wanted to make sure that I had it on a day that I was supposed to have scheduled ahead of time. And again, I don't believe it was ever explained, but again, this is like years ago. I can't remember all the details. So maybe it was, and I just didn't know that part, but I'm sure it didn't say it on the coupon unless my mom overlooked that as well, which is quite possible. But either way, you're still a child and you're still like, you know, we're allowed, you were allotted. I think I had like two or three that I was allotted, and I was, you know, I don't even know if I used the other ones because I'm like, I am not ever going to dress down in this place ever again. I believe actually one of the times I came in with my gym uniform as a dress down, it was like picture day or something like that. So I know that was like a thing. I don't know. So anyhow, so yeah, that was, she was a trip and a half. I never had a kinship to her at all. Like, she never like grew on me over the course of that year. I disliked her and I continued to dislike her. So Mrs. Liguori, now this might not be a popular opinion because I know that she was like loved by a lot of people. But for one reason or other, I feel like she took it upon herself to like pinpoint me out for things. Again, I was a quiet student. I really didn't make waves. I tried not to attract attention to myself because I really didn't want the attention. So I don't really know why she made it a point to be a bitch to me, but okay. So one of the instances... was we were learning how to write cursive, and then you would go from pencil, and then all of a sudden you were graduated to a like an erasable pen, which never really fully erased. And then you were allowed to use normal pen, like permanent pens. Like once you wrote it down, that was it. So this was fourth grade. And my mom had gotten me these pens, and one of them was blue, but it was not your traditional blue. And I believe I did one of the quizzes or something, or it could have been just homework. I handed it in. Again, you're lucky I did it. Proceeded to show it to everybody and say, do you see this? This is not the proper pen that you should be using. And then she was just like, you have to use black or blue ink, not peacock blue. And she looked right at me. And I had the pen and I was like, okay, cool. So I can't use it. I don't get why it matters. Now, if it's yellow and you can't freaking read it, or green when it's obnoxious. But when it's like a variation of something like that, I don't see what the problem is. Like overall, I think it has something to do with like, I don't know if it has something to do with like having some sort of power over people. It's like a power trip. Anyway, so yeah, it was just like I had a different color blue, and she was just like, this is not what you use. This might sound like ridiculous, but these are things that I remember and how mortified I was at the time. But I think the biggest one was during our spring play. And I think Mrs. Liguori had something to do with it. Like she was like a producer or something on it. I don't know. And it was a 1950s style where you were to wear poodle skirts. And my mom actually made my poodle skirt. And it was, you know, my mom was very crafty. So it was a very nice looking poodle skirt. Well, it was during the spring. So this is like usually March, April when they did this stuff. And my birthday is in March. During my birthday, whether it's my birthday or within that weekend time, my dad would take us down the shore. And I believe they informed her in a form of like a letter saying that I would not be in because we were going to be down the shore. So I will not be partaking in said spring play. So she got pissed off and then one of the times that we had a dress rehearsal, I dressed it because my mom had already made it, and my mom dressed me or had me bring it. I don't know. And she's like, I don't understand why you even wore it. You're not going to be in it. And then we were practicing and she was like, wait a second, let me just make sure that she's not over here so she can't be in it. She doesn't want to be involved. Like, what the F, lady? Like, One, it's not my decision. When my parents go down the shore, I am in fourth freaking grade. Give me a goddamn break. The other thing was, is that I was involved in a bus accident during my fourth grade tenure. We got in late and I got up to the fourth grade classroom, which I believe was on the second floor. And by the time I got up there, she's like, well, you're late. And I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't explain anything to her because it's like I was in school now. Like, you know, you want to yell at me, yell at me. And then we were called, like an announcement was made that anybody coming from this bus needs to come down to the cafeteria. So I left. And she knew because it was on the loudspeaker. So I'm in the cafeteria and we were given like crackers and saltine crackers just because it was like a... you know, we were in an accident and there were little kids that were shaken up and they said, we called your parents. You're going to go home for today. And, you know, we're just waiting for your parents to respond and, you know, see if they can come pick you up. And I'm just sitting there and we're waiting for our parents. And then the only teacher to come down was Mrs. Liguori. And she was like, I was just wondering where she went. Aren't you supposed to be in your classroom watching the rest of the class? Are you that concerned? Like, or you're just being a bitch. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what her motives were that. Like, but the look on her face was just like, I just didn't know where the hell she went. Like, it was more of like that kind of tone and attitude when she came down. Because I was right there. I was like right at the entrance. Like, what the lady, I get to go home. Go away. I was in a freaking bus accident. Nobody got hurt. Everybody was okay, but it was jarring. Like I ended up falling out of my seat because, you know, we didn't have mandatory seatbelts in the buses back then. And I did like hit my side onto the opposite chair. I was fine. I'm like, I get to go home. So this is the teacher. I'm not going to mention names. But I will tell you exactly and pinpointed. It was during my eighth grade time. And my science teacher, for whatever reason, she hated me. And let me tell you this lovely, lovely what she did to me. And there was way more that happened to me with this teacher than any other one. So I very rarely talked, even to people within my class. I was just like, I just wanted to get the day done so I could leave. I did have a couple of friends, and one of them was Danielle. And she sat next to me in the back because I always wanted to sit in the back. I didn't want anybody behind me. I wanted to be able to see everybody. It's a thing. I didn't like anybody that was behind me and I couldn't see what they were doing. So I sat in the back and Danielle would sit next to me. And she, oh my God. I don't know if she's around or if she even listens, but she talked. She had a mouth on her and she would not shut up. And most of the time I would just be like, okay. We're in class now. One of the times she was sick for whatever. I think she was out for a couple of days and she needed the notes. So I handed her my notebook and I was like, oh yeah. Here, you can have my notes. And this teacher goes and she's like, are you cheating? I'm like, first of all, we're not even taking a test. What do you mean cheating? And I was like, no, she was out and she needed the notes. And she like came over and like ripped my notebook out of Danielle's hand and had a look at it just to see what it was. And she doesn't say anything. She just kind of like plopped it back on the desk and then like walked back up to the blackboard. And I was like, okay, lady. We were then at the time also learning about the metric system when they were trying to teach us United States people from the imperial to metric, which, you know, good luck with. Obviously, we didn't change. So they were trying to teach. That was like a huge thing that they were like going through schools, like trying to make sure like kids would understand the metric system. And she did this whole spiel about like, you know, what the metric system was, how it was, you know, how it's so much easier, which I'm sure it is. It's just like, that's just not what we were accustomed to. So, and then she just turned around and then kind of laughed and said, she laughingly says, like, why do you all look like I'm speaking another language? And I turn, and this is out of character for me, but I had this thought and I turned to Danielle and I said, maybe because she is. And of course she gets me. The one time I opened my big fat mouth and she's like, what did you just say? Like, red face, pointed right at me in front of Ari. What did you just say? And I'm like, shit. So I was just like, well, because I am known in my my immediate family to always like to have the last word, not in school or anywhere else for that matter. But when I was younger, my dad hated back talk and I was the queen of it or the princess of it at the time. I was like, well, I was just saying, like, because it is technically another language. We only know the imperial measurements. This is the metric system. So it is kind of like another language. It didn't matter what I said. She was just like, get up. Because she would like constantly, like, if Danielle said anything to me, she would yell at me saying, you need to stop talking. And I'm like, I didn't say a goddamn thing. And then, so she's like, get up. I've had enough for you, your attitude and da 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 da. Mind you, one of the girls that went to school, was in my class, was her daughter. Okay. So, and I wasn't friends with her. Okay. So I'm sorry. Is it because I'm not friends with her? I'm not friends with anybody. I have I can count on one hand how many people I actually am friends. Like I can say that they're friends. So like, and I have no beef with anybody. Can you just leave me alone? So she moves me clear across the classroom. Unfortunately, like two desks away from the front, which I hate. So that meant somebody was behind me and I freaking hated that. And I couldn't do anything about it. And so, yeah, there was that. And then the other thing that she did was that she accused me of plagiarizing. Now, mind you, on the paper or essay that I wrote, she had given me a B. So if I would plagiarize, wouldn't it be 100%? Because, you know, technically it would be exactly what you wanted. So she points me out in class. You, I need to speak to you. So then we go out into the hallway, the door shut, you know, behind us. And she's like, you plagiarized this, didn't you? I'm like, no, I didn't. And I didn't, you know, I wrote it. I'm a prolific writer. Okay. You give me something to write about, I will write it. Okay. Now, if she said that I did something plagiarism for an algebra equation, then yeah, maybe because I friggin' hate math. But no, this was a written assignment and I banged that damn thing out and I know what I wrote and I wrote that damn thing. So she goes through the whole thing and asks me, I guess, different like words that she thinks that I didn't know. So I was utilizing them on a level that she didn't think that I was at. Like I was an idiot to be able to write this. And so she questions me and I got it all right. And I was like, I wrote it. I don't know what you're talking about. I actually sat down in front of my computer in 1997 and I wrote that damn thing. And I even gave like my bibliography or whatever you want, works cited page, whatever you're using. And I was just like, so I could answer her question. She's like, and she kind of really didn't even say sorry or nothing. She just kind of like, and then went on our way. So she didn't really prove anything, did she? But my God, she was on my ass that whole year. And the thing is that, so that was eighth grade. And seventh grade, she wasn't a teacher during my seventh grade time. She took over for another teacher who was Miss Clancy. I don't know what happened to her. I did like her. She actually took us on a field trip to the wetlands in New Jersey. And it was such a horrible, like I enjoyed the trip. The actual trip was great, but it just was like a debacle because everybody got separated. There were kids, they couldn't like, you have to keep the kids together. Like they are your charges. And they had like, usually had room mothers or parents that would come to also chaperone. I remember I was with two other girls like walking these back roads with no adult supervision. And it was, and I'm like, well, here we are. I'm going to die in the wetlands. But so, yeah, that was fun. I wonder if that's why she wasn't a teacher anymore. That's a shame if it was, because it was a great trip. And I think she wanted to do more. Maybe that could have been it, too. And it's harder. Catholic schools, I really feel as though that because they are tuition based, they don't have any government funding, state funding or nothing. So at least as far as I know, probably couldn't do what she wanted to do. So public school probably would have been a better arena for her. But anyway, so this the other teacher took over for Miss Clancy, which is a shame. Wish she could have just one more year, damn it, one more year. Couldn't just get me through this. But seventh grade, I almost failed because, like I said, heavily bullied, didn't want to be there, didn't like anything about anything, hated myself, and I just gave up. So I just barely, you know, scraped by to graduate into eighth grade. And eighth grade, I got second honors the whole year. So the fact that she was still a bitch to me and wanted to accuse me of so many things, I still at least got a B plus in your classroom. So there. Sister Dorothy, I don't necessarily dislike her, but she did. So she was our desktop publishing and typing teacher. So computers at the time. And you wanted to be in the computer class. It didn't matter if you wanted to do desktop publishing or not. Excuse me, Jesus. It had air conditioning. I will go into that in a minute and why. But Sister Dorothy, she tried to give me a C on my report card. And her reason was excessive absences. This was my senior year. And my senior year, my dad passed away. So I was out for about a week and a bit when my dad died for his wake and funeral, or the funeral and the wake, however you want to do it. But I was out for that. And I was out intermittently because life was decidedly different. So I was having a hard time. I was a little pissed off because I'm like, excessive absences. And I'm like, so I went to the principal. So me, this person who really doesn't try and make waves or anything, but I went to the principal, Mr. Cavalieri. I was like, I don't agree with this grade because I've done everything that she needed me to do. I passed the typing course part of it and I'm doing the desktop publishing. I'm like creating a website and we're, you know, doing all this stuff on here and blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't agree. And he's like, okay, well, what do you think you should be getting? I'm like, an A. I'm like, but I will accept a B plus, but I believe in A, I've done everything. And she said, excessive absences. Does she not realize that I just had my freaking father die? And I was just like, some religious understanding that was, as a nun. Anyway, but beyond that, I really didn't have an issue with Sister Dorothy for anything else. It was just like, when I saw that, I'm like, this bitch, like, what the? And I think because of my grief, I came out and was just like, oh, hell to the no. And finally, Mr. McColgan. If anybody went to St. Joe's during my tenure, you'll know Mr. McColgan. He was a brand new teacher, I believe, when our freshman year. Not that much older than we were, like in his early 20s. Nice looking man. I know a lot of girls who were kind of had a crush on him. And, you know, me included. He had a tendency to really not teach. He was our religion teacher, mind you. And he liked to have us copy down notes from the projector. It's like, here's my notes, copy. Just continue. And then we'd watch like a video or something like that. The teaching part of it was lacking, okay? But I digress. So not while I was there, but a couple of years later, I don't know how many years later, he was found to have child stuff on his home computer. And like I said, he was our religion teacher. Shocking or no? Fun fact, he was very much into Depeche Mode and he knew that I was, and he would have frequent conversations with me about it. And I had told him that I was going to go and see Depeche Mode after graduation. And I had two tickets and I didn't know if my mom was going to go with me because, you know, I'm sad and I had no friends. And he's like, oh, I can go with you. And I was like, oh, maybe. And at the time, like, you know, I was 18 and he was an adult. I was kind of an adult. But I was just like, man, you know, and I didn't really say anything at the end. But I know that when I graduated and we left the church after graduation, he kind of just like, oh, you know, let me know. This is literally me walking out of like, I freaking graduated. I'm out. And he called my house to find out if I wanted to go with him. And I was like, why? His girlfriend or white and or wife, I can't remember which one she was at the time. I'm like, don't you go? Aren't you going to go with her? He's like, oh, well, she'll be somewhere else. We can just go. And I'm like, so my mom answered the phone. And this is my issue with my mom is that she was like, oh, it's, you know, your teacher. And I was like, he wants to know about if you wanted to, if you're still going to go to the concert together. And I looked at my mom and I'm like, no, can you just tell him, like, no, my cousin's going to go with me. Just, you know, I can't believe that you're okay with this, mom. So did I dodge a bullet? Maybe. I was 18. I don't know. But regardless, I feel like I did. Okay, so that's the worst teachers. Now the best teachers. There's a lot more of them. I had quite a few that were really, really, really nice. My first grade teacher, which was Mrs. Schubert and Mrs. Rendino, they were the nicest people. And I don't know whether or not it's because it's first grade and you're dealing with like small children, but they just had like their patience far exceeds that of saints, okay? Mr. Vanello, oh my God. He was also so nice to my brother. My brother had him for a little while in seventh grade. My brother left seventh grade to go to public school because he was a troubled child. But he was always so nice. Like, he was understanding. He got you. He got, you know, always made the best jokes. I don't know what he's doing now, even if it's still around. He wasn't, like, that old. But I don't know. I feel like it wasn't that long ago. And it's been 23 years, for Christ's sake. So I don't know what this was during seventh and eighth grade. So that was a whole lot longer than that. Oh my God. It's 28 years ago. Jesus. So I don't know what he's doing, if he's even still around, but he was the best. Miss Kane. This might not be a popular opinion. A lot of people hated her in fifth grade. However, you know what I liked about her was that she was young. She was young and blonde, and she was, like, you know, very pretty. And she could be very strict. However, I never had a problem with her, and she never really had a problem with me. And I very much enjoyed her. Like, she would read. She would read the Wayside School books to us. And I absolutely loved that. And it was just nice to have, like, a teacher who was just, like, would do that, you know. I don't know. And the spelling, she kind of pushed for the spelling. I'm a horrible speller, still am. I was better then because I was studying. Now I'm just like, Word will get it. Autocorrect. This is horrible. It's like, it's really making us stupider, I think. Even more stupid. Is stupider a word? Probably not. I'm an English major, by the way. Sister Anna. She was the one that really, really helped me understand fractions. I kind of get it now, but it's been so long I haven't done it. I don't do anything that regards fractions at the moment, but she really wanted me to learn. And it's rare to see teachers actually, like, put the effort in. And she gave me, like, a stack of papers to get through it, and she would be there to help, which was great. Mrs. Lyons. I wrote a whole Facebook thing about this. I'll do a quick rundown about it. If you're not friends with me on Facebook, it's not that deep. But so we had an English project that we had to do in groups, which I always hated because no one wanted to be in a group with me. So I ended up being, like, placed in a group that no one cared for me to be in. And I happened to be in a group with this girl who disliked me very, very much. And she was, like, one of the main people who, like, made my life hell. And we were supposed to do some sort of poster thing. And I attempted to make a change to it or add an input for it. And I was told by this girl who hated me that, why am I doing that? Why are you changing that? That's not what we wanted. So I just didn't put in any more effort because I wasn't, you know, they didn't want any more effort from me, so fine. And of course, then they turned around and said that I didn't deserve the grade that they got because I wasn't involved. So Miss Lyons took me to the side while they were watching some film or whatever. And she was like, they told me, blah, blah, blah. And I told her, I'm like, well, you know, they didn't want my input. And I was going to have tears. So I was literally just about to cry. And she can see that I was very, very upset about it because I didn't want to fail because of these assholes. So she's like, all right, how about I give you extra credit. So you have to write a report and I'll give you what the report's about and then you write it. And I got an A+ on it. So I think I got a better grade than they did on their thing, which is great. And I actually still have the report and I'm not going to get upset. I am going to get upset. I thanked her and she even like came when my dad passed away. There was a couple of people who actually came to check on me when I came in to get my work for that week. And it was a couple of girls from school and a couple of teachers. And one of those teachers was Mrs. Lyons. And I appreciate her. I hope she's okay if she's still around, because she really, really helped me and understood me. And I appreciate her. Sister Rose. She was a sweet nun. She was like this really, really small, sweet nun. I can't really say whether or not she did anything specific, but she just stuck with me. I don't know. She just was just so sweet. Like she could be a real, I'm sure she's gone. She was old at the time, but I really did like her. I don't know. She had a great vibe about her. So did Sister Anna. There were some really great nuns. And then there were some not so great nuns like Sister Frances. Okay. Miss Cryan, oh my goodness. Now, she helped me get to the second honors portion in eighth grade. She really helped me to study. She would do this around the world quiz that if you were the last one or the last two up to answer all the questions, you wouldn't have to take the test and you just ace the test. And I was like, I studied. And I did. I actually was able to not have to take the test. I could sit there and I could watch everybody take the test. And I'm like, I already did it. She was the one that actually got me to, you know, she was like very interactive with the students and wanted you to learn. She was very passionate about politics. I do remember that. And whether or not you were on her side about it, she was very passionate. Do I agree that she was like pushing some sort of political agenda back in the 90s, I don't know. But she was very passionate. And that's what you need in a teacher, to actually want to teach and have your students learn and, you know, figure that out. Mr. Matt, he was my English teacher for senior year. And I believe my homeroom teacher as well. He integrated music because he is a drummer. He's in a band. And he integrated music in a lot of the stuff that we were learning. And I appreciate that because music is so much a central part. I am not an artist in that respect, nor can I play. I can play some things, but I'm not like proficient in any type of musical instrument. But I appreciate the fact that he integrated and interlaced it all together, because it is a very big part of my own life. So it kind of helped me also learn. So it's like, it's something that I truly appreciate. Oh, Father Hubbs. Father Hubbs. He was cool. Like he taught religion, like world religion, I believe it was. I can't remember the titles of the different religion classes. They have religion every damn year. Obviously, it's a Catholic school. But he was very open. I feel like as a priest, he was very open with different religions. And I don't mean like open that way. If you're thinking of other things, he was a good priest. He was one of the good ones, and he was very much open to questions. Like a lot of the time when you are, if you start questioning your religion and people like kind of stonewall you to be like, you should just have faith, you begin to kind of pull away from it because of that attitude. And he welcomed the questions. You know, you need to learn. You need to have the knowledge to be like, this is what I want, because maybe it isn't what you want, or maybe it very, very much is what you want. But you won't know until you have gained that knowledge. And he accepted that, and I appreciate that very much. Mr. McBride, he was my world sciences class as world sciences. Oh my God, I have no idea. It was in the science class, and he was also my psychology teacher. He is the one that got me into psychology. Like we read The Bell Jar. However, I will say this: he made us do oral presentations every semester. Like it was one of the things we had to do each section. And I hated standing up in front of the class. There's the one time that I had to do it. And I can recall standing up there with my notes that I had practiced so many times at home. And as soon as I got up there, I could feel my ears ring. I could hear my ears ringing. I can feel my my body just getting very warm because I was so nervous and my face was turning red. And my vision was to the point where I felt like everything was going, extending, telescoping out. And I felt like I wasn't attached to myself. So if I had a, if I didn't just like that, I think I would have passed out. That is how horrible it was for me. And it wasn't because I didn't like speaking about something that I learned and I was interested in and I wanted to share, because I do it now and I like doing that. It's in doing it in front of the people who made my life a misery, because they were just going to make that moment a misery for me as well. So I just didn't, I don't want to do this because it's horrible and I hate these people and I don't want to do this. You know, why are you making me do this? So I did get through it eventually. Oh my God. There was another teacher, I forget her name, but she was my pre-calculus teacher. So she was the one that actually got me to see a psychiatrist while I was in school after my dad passed. Mainly because one of our tests had to deal with graphing. And I said, this graph looks like a roller coaster. Because she had to compare and contrast or something like that. And I was like, it's like a roller coaster, kind of like my life. I told you, I'm a writer. And I could be overdramatic. I'm a Pisces as well. So when it came to stuff like that. But I think she passed away. I think I heard, she was really fairly young when she passed. I don't know how she passed, but I can't remember her name. And I don't have the funny thing is I don't have any of my yearbooks in front of me right now. They're upstairs somewhere. So all of the names that I just pulled out of my ass were just from memory, except for hers. I cannot remember her last name. It began with an M. Darn it. So let's go a little bit into the actual how it was being in a Catholic school. We didn't have air conditioning. The only rooms or extenuating or extension was not my house. God forbid. Although that would be an interesting house if it was made into a house. Anyway. Or outside structures that had AC with their trailers that were out in the playground, which was literally just a parking lot. So our first grade, we were in the trailer. Second grade, we were in, second and third grade, we were in classes. Actually, I think I was in the same classroom as my English class when I got into middle school. Middle school was a hallway. So it was the trailers that we would have, air conditioning, the library, and the computer rooms. There was two computer rooms that you could go into, and they both had air conditioning. Otherwise, we had some had ceiling fans, and they would have standing fans as extra. But mind you, this was it was a three-story building, and I did have classes on the third floor. And let me tell you, it was not a pleasant experience when it got to the really, really hot months. So, I mean, we were in school until the first week and a half of June, not January. I wish we only had to go to school until January. That would have been great. And having to wear a skirt, so your back of your legs were getting stuck to the chairs. And we did have short sleeve blouses at the time as well. But my God, it was just it was ungodly hot. So you would I think my one, so I had desktop publishing as well as a regular computer class. So I had two classes that had air conditioning. And my creative writing class, even though I wanted to have creative writing, was also in the library. So I was very lucky. I don't know if the other people who were in creative writing actually wanted to be in creative writing, or they just wanted to be in that room for at least the 45 minutes that you had to take for your class. Yeah, I don't understand. All right, so I get having uniforms. They have them over in Europe. It doesn't even have to be a parochial school, a private school or anything. That's their schooling usually has uniforms. I think it's a good idea. You know, there's less of the competition, although they can still find ways of competing. I mean, how short can your skirt go? How long can your hair be over the collar when you are in Catholic school? For the boys, anyway. But they did, I remember in elementary school, they did have maroon of all colors, maroon pants that you could buy for the girl uniform. They got rid of it. They got rid of the pants. I don't understand why we can't just wear pants. Like, can't we just wear pants, please? I would rather just wear khakis and then the blouse if that's what you want. I don't care. But do I have to wear a skirt? I don't wear skirts now, mainly because I'm fat and I'll have like that rubbing with my thighs. But it's just like, I hated it then. And yeah. And it was just not comfortable for me at all. I was very uneasy with myself anyway. So I didn't like how I was in it anyway. I never really thought myself as like the girliest of girls, like, you know, wearing specific shoes that had the highest heel that was allowed, or, you know, just whatever type of, I know that you could have your ears pierced, but you can only have one, just one earring. You couldn't have more than that, like one piercing in each ear. That's it. So if you had two, because sometimes by then you could have two. They didn't like that. You couldn't wear makeup. That's okay. I don't wear makeup now. So, and yeah, okay. Those girls were wearing makeup. Okay. Not all of them, but there were a few that I'm like, that is obviously a full face of makeup. Didn't say anything. I know that a lot of the time it was like they came from prominent names in the community, and my family were fairly new. The only thing that was local was my Uncle Jimmy's Cataldi Buick. So he had a used car. He was his car salesman. So, I mean, you had these people who are prominent farmers, lots of money. And I had my car salesman uncle that was there. So I don't know necessarily how popular that was, but we weren't born of the area. So I think that had a little bit to do with it. I didn't care. You know, can we just be friends? But apparently, no. Not today, whoever the hell you are. What is your last name? We had to do First Friday Masses. So every Friday you got to, you know, spend some time in church rather than learning things. So sometimes that was better. You can just, you know, sometimes. But sometimes it was boring. And, you know, Mass can be boring unless you have a really good priest that has a really good homily. I already mentioned the bullying. I'm not going to go right into that. Oh, and then recess. Okay, so our recess was in the playground that was a parking lot. So there was arrows for, you know, showing how people to get in and out of the area. We would use that for tag, freeze tag. We had this huge, because the building was made out of stone and brick. So the gymnasium wall was butted up against the playground. So they used that for wall ball, I guess. I don't know what you would pick up. It's not pickleball. I know what pickleball is. We have a pickleball thing down the road. Anyway, so like, yeah, so something like that. It was so hot. Like when it got to the warmer months, it would, and you're on blacktop. So it is freaking 100 million degrees and there is little to no shade. So you would stand within the shade of the building, but some of the time it would be like down like the side of the building, and they didn't want the kids to go there because, you know, they could be causing trouble. Or you would, like, there was a little bit of trees towards the back, but then you would be bothering the trailers that had the smaller kids in there if you were older. You know, it was a whole thing. And my God, I cut up my knees, my thigh. I did, like, I fell slot and slid. So I had to go, when I went to the nurse, I believe this was in fourth grade, actually. I had slid because I was playing something like freeze tag, but it wasn't. And I slid all the way up, and I had my whole thigh was like an open sore. They had to like put these huge bandages all over. But they sent me back to class. I'm like, can I just go home? I can't walk or sit for that matter, really. So that was like, we didn't have like a jungle gym or a slide or something or swings, anything. It was like, here's the blacktop. Enjoy. I think for the smaller kids, especially in first grade, you were allowed to draw chalk stuff on the blacktop. But I don't know if that would have been frowned upon as an older student. I'm like, can I just do that? Like, I like doing that. I would do it now. Our cafeteria was in a basement. So their basement where all of the boilers and stuff were, and the maintenance room was our cafeteria. So I can only imagine the food that came out of there, although the pizza was always great. It could have been like the Elio's square pizza, right? But it was the best. Then you had the teacher's lounge, which was this weird... It reminds me of my previous job, and their quote-unquote cafeteria was just like this small windowless room that had a table and a refrigerator, and that was it, and like a sink. So I think that's like what it was, because, and you were not allowed to, as a student, to go into there. I think I had to go in there once to use the refrigerator, and I was like, this was like out of bounds. Like, it was like, this is forbidden. And you go in there and you look around like it was like some sort of magical place that lots of things happened, and it was not that amazing. So you were not allowed to go in there. I do remember that. They have the door shut and you're really like, what are they saying? Because there would be people who were like right up against the door, like trying to listen. I remember announcements too. They would have a microphone stand in the back corner, because I would sit back there because it was like the nobody zone. That was my zone. And they would come and like do like, I don't know, random, like, we're doing a fundraiser for blah, blah, blah. And then eventually they opened up the St. Joe's store, and it was like this little bump out in the cafeteria that, and it was like a little like storefront. It was a little storefront, and you could get hot chocolate. Oh my God, it was the best. The hot chocolate and the soft pretzels. Oh, Jesus Christ. That were the best. The best. I never had enough money for any of that because my mom never gave me any money. So I was like, you know, relegated to my peanut butter and jelly sandwich and bottle of water and possibly a Gushers or, you know, something. Cookies. But, oh my God, the hot chocolate. And then you could get like the memorabilia, so you could have like, I forget what other stuff that they had there. You could get like the sweatshirts, the t-shirts that said St. Joe's Wildcats, and some other paraphernalia that they would be selling. But, oh, and I think they had chocolate chip cookies. They had really good cookies too. It's like the best things besides, like, it was like this extra luxury thing that you were able to do. But yeah, and you can get composition books there if you needed to do the composition books and the loose leaf paper that I had to get in third grade. But this was like later, but it was great. It was, I don't know, it was just novelty, I guess. So, I mean, that's really it. I really don't have much else to, I could talk about the bus ride, but what I might do is I'm going to do a separate episode regarding like me and how I was in school, as in like what we'd be listening to, what the bus ride was, what the radio was, kind of be a little bit more on the relatable side. I had a, you know, it was a different time. And I was a different type of person. I'm not like everybody else. I'm special. No, I wasn't popular, so I didn't have a lot of the same things that people might, you know, even if you weren't popular and you were just kind of there, you would still have had like a different experience. But that's fine. I mean, I'm sure we could relate on some levels. Maybe not the exact teachers, but maybe you had one that was like that. So please, I would love to hear any comments about this or about maybe your instances. Did you go to Catholic school? So yeah, that's that. Thank you so much. So that's a wrap on today's episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y. I hope you enjoyed this peek behind the curtain of my Catholic school days, from the teachers who were saints to those who, let's just say, had a little more work to do on their heavenly reward. Whether you remember your own time at Catholic school and or public school, fondly or not fondly, I hope you found something to laugh about, or at least something you could relate to. Remember, it's not about whether we were perfect students, it's about the lessons we learned along the way, and maybe a few we didn't, like me having the last word. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe and leave a review. And if you've got your own Catholic school stories or public school stories, I want to hear about them. I can talk. Until next time, keep questioning, keep laughing, and keep reminiscing. That's what it's all about. See you next time on That Age Child. Bye.